First, propelled by last week's siege of the Capitol, social media companies made moves to suspend and ban any posting or usage of their platforms by President Trump. Twitter placed a permanent ban on the president last Friday. Facebook and Instagram, also owned by Facebook, have banned him indefinitely, at least through the inauguration. Snapchat permanently disabled his account. YouTube has suspended his channel for a week and gave him his first strike. Reddit has banned a collection of pro-Trump pages prone to violent threats and misinformation in the past and banned a new subreddit last week. And Parler, a social media site used by extremist, often pro-Trump supporters, was effectively shut down as well when Amazon cut off its web infrastructure services. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think these social media companies were right to ban or suspend the president? Do you think they should have taken some of those measures earlier? Or do you think it's going too far? Do you worry about what it could mean for how everybody else communicates in the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Steve Knoll is a marketing professor and social media expert at Madison College. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Great. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, a lot of these dominoes fell in a pretty short period of time. What do you make of this sequence of events? Who made the first moves here? What drove them to make these decisions?
Well, it seems like it happened really, really fast. But really, this is kind of a culmination of what's been building up actually for several years now. And I think the actions at the Capitol last week were really kind of the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back for a lot of media companies that really realized just how, you know, their tools were being abused by a lot of influential people.
Yeah, we saw Jack Dorsey, head of Twitter, commenting, saying he thinks it was the right decision. At the same time, he worries about what it says about how much power that people like him and other social media company owners and leaders have over our communication. Even some of the people who made this decision see a double-edged sword here.
Well, they have. And the interesting thing, you know, you have to remember, social media is still a relatively new medium. You know, it's been active, obviously, for probably 15 years. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, that's not a long time for a medium to really mature and kind of develop, you know, best practices. So it's really, it's a lot of learning by doing. But in a lot of ways, it's also kind of the wild west of technology. So, you know, I think a lot of these companies are finding themselves, you know, all of a sudden being thrust upon with a lot of really large implications and trying to make decisions where there really isn't any precedent to look back on.
Now, these are not, some people have pointed to the First Amendment. These are not First Amendment decisions. They're not, you know, these are private companies. It's just like a grocery store kicking me out if I raise too much of a ruckus, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, these are private companies that have become really essential parts of the way we communicate with each other. I don't know. What would you like to see from companies to lay out how they're going to handle that grocery store angry customer equivalent on their websites?
Well, just because these companies have become very, very popular doesn't mean that the users have the right to use them as they want. And I think that that's really kind of at the root of that, is that a lot of people have gotten used to using these companies like Facebook and Twitter and almost feel like they're their companies and not that they're a patron to the company. And I think a lot of people really need to kind of step back and really think that if you can't live your life without Twitter, you've probably got some other issues that you need to address first. And certainly in terms of social media, there's plenty of opportunities to go other places. You know, if you don't like Twitter, there's Facebook. If you don't like Facebook, you know, there's other social mediums. There's Snapchat. It's not like one has a monopoly on communication. And yeah, some of them are pretty big and influential. And if you get kicked off Twitter, it's pretty significant. But there are other grocery stores you can go shop at. It may just not be the one that you like, but they kicked you out for a reason. And it's your responsibility, not Twitter's.
Now, this question of, in effect, content moderation, it's been around for a long time, since early BBS and message boards to comment sections for newspapers. What do you think social media companies need to do to lay out their terms of service clearly so that their customers, whether it's a president or just some dude, knows what they can and can't do, what puts them at risk of getting kicked off?
Well, first of all, you know, as I said, you have to acknowledge that the fault here is at the user and not the company. Okay. But at the same point, too, the companies have made it really easy for users to kind of not know the rules. I mean, when you sign up for a, you know, a Twitter or a Facebook account, there's a term of agreement that you have to agree to. But if you actually go in and read those terms, these are incredibly long legalese documents that are probably written with the intention to get you to not read them. They kind of just want you to scroll through, click yes, and move on. So one of the things that I really think that these companies should really revisit is kind of establishing almost like a simplified terms of agreement that basically clearly lays out what people are agreeing to when they sign up for, you know, for example, a Twitter account. So I think part of that is, you know, the social media companies have kind of enabled this type of, you know, entitlement by their users, and it's kind of their own fault. And unfortunately, they've been kind of naive. Facebook especially has said, you know, for years, you know, we believe that people will always try to, you know, do the right thing. And they've always kind of taken a hands-off approach. Well, in the last couple of years, they've seen more and more examples of people not doing that. And I think these companies have been very naive. And I think especially last week was a real wake-up call for a lot of the tech companies.
Naive, or I've heard accusations, Steve, that you know, they want to keep all these customers on. Statements on there, they get attention, they keep people scrolling and using and posting. Maybe not so much naive as, hey, maybe it's in our self-interest to keep this angry stuff coming through.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, even going back to the grocery store example, you know, just because you have an angry customer and you ask them to leave, you know, every business is probably going, yep, but we want you to come back tomorrow. Just don't be so angry. So, you know, I think that's the nature of business, is you never want to alienate customers. And I think that that's what the social media company, they were really kind of, you know, put into a hard position where, on one hand, you had people that were definitely breaking their terms, that were definitely using illegal speech, not free speech, definitely, you know, saying things that are blatantly illegal, like inciting violence and all that stuff. But at the same point, too, you didn't want to lose them. So, you know, how far, you know, when that proverbial customer in the grocery store starts raising their voice, at what point do you ask them to leave? And I think any manager that's ever had to deal with an irate customer has asked themselves the same question. At what point do you draw the line? And again, in the social media world, this is relatively new, and there really are not a lot of guidebooks these companies can look to say, okay, when people get to this point, that's when you kick them off. They literally are figuring out the rules as we go along.
Talking to Steve Knoll, marketing professor and social media expert at Madison College, talking about President Trump's ban on Twitter and many other social media sites, and what social media sites do when it comes to behavior on their sites when they ban people. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Now, the president, this is yesterday, he had made a call in a statement against violence over the next week or so. He also mentioned this issue. Here's a listen.
I also want to say a few words about the unprecedented assault on free speech we have seen in recent days. These are tense and difficult times. The efforts to censor, cancel, and blacklist our fellow citizens are wrong, and they are dangerous.
So what do you think of the president's comments? I think clearly related to the social media issue there.
I think he needs to go back to second grade and take a basic civics class, because that is, you need to understand what free speech means. And what he was saying last week and what he's been saying is not the definition of free speech. It is definitely insightful rhetoric, and that is absolutely not protected by the First Amendment. So what he said was not true. It was a blatant lie. But again, he's now in panic mode, scrambling, because, you know, I don't think he intended it to go this far. And unfortunately, he now has to live with the repercussions of kind of what he did to himself.
Let's bring a caller on now. Lisa is with us in Chicago. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Lisa?
I wanted to bring up that, number one, we need to respect our president. That's a first and foremost, and he still is our president. Going back to, you know, the impeachment, that is in process, but it hasn't been finalized, and they're still investigating everything, and they're quickly jumping to a lot of conclusions before even making a decision. So that's going to play out, whether it's a day before what they're talking about. So we don't know the outcome of that. So everyone is talking about he's impeached. Yes, the process is going on. We know
but,
that.
But do to social media, Lisa?
Yes, we're talking about the social media. I believe that if they can ban the president from social media, we have some serious problems, because that is freedom of speech. And the problem is, they're not, with social media, they don't have rules across the board. So
Lisa,
they want
to. I gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Technically, the president has been impeached. That's the House part. He's not been convicted. That's the Senate bit still coming. Lisa saying she doesn't like this decision, though. Steve, getting back to social media, and says they don't have clear and consistent rules, social media sites.
Well, this is a good example of people really not understanding the facts. And the fact is, the president was not banned from social media. He was banned from Twitter and Facebook. Okay, he has the right to go out and start his own social media network. Anyone does. So this blanket statement that he's been banned from social media is patently false. That is not true at all. And again, I really think that people really need to sit back and really understand what is social media, what is free speech, how all this works, how government and laws work, before they start, you know, spreading this information and basically spreading fake news.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Steve Knoll from Madison College about social media companies, many of them choosing to ban or temporarily suspend President Trump's accounts. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the decision from Twitter and Facebook and others? Do you want to see social media platforms do this sort of thing more often, especially when it comes to inflammatory or maybe inciting comments on social media? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation now with Steve Knoll from Madison College, social media expert there, talking about the surge in social media companies banning or suspending the president and how they handle terms of service, who gets banned and when. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Chuck is with us in Waukesha. Chuck, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would just like to say that, first, I believe Twitter is a publicly traded company. It is not a government entity. It is not a recognized press, such as Associated Press or newspapers and radio. And I feel that they had every right to ban anything that is detrimental or dangerous to the public. Just because it's an opinion doesn't mean it's free speech. If I were to walk into a theater or a crowded venue and yell fire, which is a very old sentiment, I guess, or a story comparing this, I could be jailed for inciting a riot and causing bodily harm. What the president did for 4 years on Twitter was drop those nice little nuggets trying to create havoc. So I believe they have every right to. It's not free speech.
Chuck, thanks for the call. Steve?
Absolutely right. That he is completely accurate in everything that he said there. You know, just because, you know, there's a medium out there. And again, the whole yelling fire in the movie theater. Yes, that is probably the most well-known way to describe this scenario and what is and isn't free speech. And again, you know, Twitter is not the government. And the First Amendment is a direct reference to government speech. So Twitter being a private company, it is no different than, you know, you go into a restaurant and they have a sign that says no profanity allowed. And then you go into the restaurant, you swear, they kick you out. Same thing. The businesses have a right to set the rules and users need to follow the rules.
Thanks for the call. We'll go to Susan now in Elkhart Lake. Susan, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Two things. I thought of something after listening to the prior guest. One, Trump has a megaphone in the White House press. So if he wants to get his voice out there, that's one of the biggest megaphones that he could use. But he's choosing right now and has for a while to not use it. So that's kind of, I think, telling. And then the other question I have is there's other media sites that some of these more extreme people are going to, such as gab.com. And how, explain something about those sites and how they continue to operate. Why are they continuing to operate? Gab's been involved in some other extremist behaviors in the past. So I'm trying to understand that. How are they different than Twitter or Facebook or any of those other kinds of sites?
Susan, thanks for the call. Steve, thoughts on social media sites that cater to a more conservative crowd or in some cases a more extremist crowd?
Well, again, we saw this with Parler last weekend when, you know, they were initially the apps were taken down and then they actually lost their hosting service. Yes, you're right. Gab is kind of the other one that's still out there that's known. So there are a lot of smaller, more niche ones, but there really isn't one that has the reach anymore. I certainly think that Gab is being pushed now into the spotlight. And I think some of their business partners are going to start to take a look at what they do and then kind of decide, hey, do we really want to be associated with this type of product? You know, that's what Amazon did last weekend when they pulled Parler down. Amazon was hosting Parler's web service, and Amazon took a close look at what they were doing and saw multiple incidences of open incitement of violence and said, we don't want our company associated with that type of customer, and ended their agreement. So I think what we're going to be seeing now in the next few weeks and months is as these other extremist organizations are struggling to find, you know, other places to go hide, a lot of companies are going to be very, very hesitant to work with them, you know, even on the quiet down low, because they've been exposed. And I think people out there are going to be saying, hey, if you're going to host this type of website, we want the public to know what you are hosting. And I think we're going to see a ripple effect for a long time, months, if not years, on something like this. And at the end of the day, this is business. It's survival of the fittest. It's evolve or die. So I think what we're seeing now with a lot more awareness of how these sites operate and the whole business behind what's needed to make them operate, you know, coming to light, I think we're going to see less and less of these extremist organizations, because at the end of the day, who's going to pay for them?
Thanks for the call. In our last couple minutes, we've had a couple callers. We don't have time for them raising the issue of Congress and their involvement on all of this. Steve, there have been calls in Congress for changes in the way we regulate these big social media companies. Is there anything on the horizon you think might happen for better or worse?
Well, let's talk again in a week. So after the inauguration, when the Democrats, you know, take control of the three parts of government, you know, a year ago, there was talk by Elizabeth Warren on breaking up some of the tech companies, specifically Facebook. So I'll be very interested to see if that gets reintroduced or brought up. However, I also don't know if the tech companies are going to get to that point. I think a lot of these tech companies were really horrified with what they saw last week, as were, you know, most of the rest of us. But I think that the tech companies are really going to be doing a lot of changes themselves to prevent something so extreme as happening again. So I think there may be a combination of, you know, some of the tech companies making some changes, but I will not be surprised if in the next year or so we see some legislation that specifically addresses some of this. You know, the big, you know, rule about, you know, what is a social media and regulating, I don't think we're going to see that recalled. I think, you know, social media companies will still be, you know, categorized as a social media platform and not a content creator. And I think that that's how it should be. But I still think there's going to be people who are going to call on that. But that opens up a whole new can of worms. And I don't think either users or the operators of social media companies want to go down that alley at all.
We'll leave it there. Steve, thanks again for joining us today.
Great. Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
We've been talking to Steve Knoll, marketing professor and social media expert at Madison College. He joined us today to talk about social media companies and regulations after many big technology companies chose to temporarily or permanently block or ban the president last week.